shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast.
Yay!
I'm Chris Sheppa.
I'm Katie Norgren. With us today, how about you take this one, Chris?
Is an amazing traveling musician. You've heard her before on the Sea Hags Podcast and a bonus episode. And she's back in town. It's Arit Shimoni.
Hello!
Hey, girl.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Welcome back to Vancouver.
Thank you.
Hey. It's where he came into our house and was just like, oh, I've been here before. It's so nice. Like, 1 year later, basically, almost.
Is it? I think it is 1 year.
A little bit over. I think you were here in the spring last time.
I'm glad someone's keeping track. Yeah, I have no idea.
I kind of think of you as like a comet, where it's like, just like every time you come by, it's like, oh, I'm in rotation.
Look, she's in the sky.
Every time you go away.
Aww.
What's that?
You don't know that one? It's,
no.
It's an 80s power ballad.
I don't know how any of the rest of the song goes.
You take a piece of me with you.
Aww. People do tell me that they're sad when I leave, and I think that's really sweet because yeah. I always think like they must be so relieved when I leave. I know.
This chick's been sleeping on our air mattress in the living room for 3 days. Get her out of here.
It's such a return to the olden times of the traveling bards.
Yes.
We're
happy. It's like, you know, when you come to town, it's like there's an event, so we're throwing a party for
Yay!
You today.
I know, like, that's quite an honor. I'm very, very, very grateful for all of that.
Because now you have to compete with, like, Netflix and other forms of entertainment, which did not happen back in, like, 1600.
Yeah,
or
it would have been real event for, like, the bard is coming to the village.
You would jungle through town, I guess.
And that is why, yes, that is why things are harder nowadays for us musicians.
Yeah, it's tough out there for a modern bard.
It was probably tough in pre-modern times
barding
for the bard,
easy.
Too. Yeah. Barding's hard.
Hard bard.
But I actually usually officially thank my audiences for, like, stepping away from their screens for the night.
Oh,
going,
that's cool.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys are part of the revolution now. This is very cool that you actually go out.
Every time I go out to something, I'm pretty much like, you're welcome to whoever's performing.
I'm like,
I'm doing you a huge favor.
You guys
right now.
Put pants on and you left your homes and your screens. That is a big deal.
I heard that there, like, someone finally saw Moana,
Yay,
apparently.
I did. I really liked it.
It was adorable. It was, like, the best Disney movie in years.
Oh, it's a movie.
Yeah.
I'm a little out of the movie loop, you guys. As a traveling bard, I sometimes don't get to see a lot of movies.
Barding so hard, you don't get to see any of the new children's movies that come out.
I also don't hear about them, really, unless there's, I've obviously heard that Wonder Woman is out.
Yeah.
Because everybody on Facebook is talking about it. I, for some reason, have zero interest in
going
to see it. I was just like,
oh, really?
It wasn't good. I didn't like it.
That's too bad.
Like, yeah, it wasn't awful, but it was just like, yeah, that was fine.
Yeah.
It was 2 hours and 20 minutes of, that's fine.
I like action movies in theaters,
so. Wasn't that exciting, though?
Oh,
like, it just really wasn't. It was all super blue-screened, like, or green-screened. Like, it just, nothing looked real in it, and it was a bummer.
Huh.
There was only, like, 15 minutes on Lesbian Island.
Aww.
Which I was like, come on! I want a good half of the movie to be on Themyscira, or whatever, where all of the cool Amazon ladies live together.
Aw, that's a shame.
Yeah. So,
clearly I don't know enough of the backstory of Wonder Woman.
No, she's a child of the Amazons. She's sculpted of clay. Her mother sculpted her, and Zeus brought her to life with a lightning bolt.
Really? I watched Wonder Woman when I was a kid, but I was in Israel, so I didn't speak English, so I just, like, saw what happened,
well,
but
yeah,
I didn't really understand it.
Wonder Woman is Israeli.
The real one, clearly. Yeah. Yes.
She pretty much has her accent in the film, too, which is, like, really sort of adorable. I've seen a couple, like, interviews she's done just to promote the movie and being so tired, because, of course, she's got, like, a tiny baby or something, and she's got to do 100 interviews in a day. And there's some, like, if you were going to be any SpongeBob character, what would it be? She's like, I don't want to be Bob Sponge. She's, like, just so touched. She's like, I just want to go home.
Yeah. Why are you asking me the dumbest questions ever? Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have to do press junkets when you travel? Maybe not junket, but I've seen interviews pop up in Dutch and German and
all
kinds of stuff.
Yes, I do. But I also just, you know, in terms of people at shows, I have to answer the same questions a lot.
Oh, yeah?
And it can...
What's it like?
It's not. I don't like it. I get, like, pain, like actual physical pain from like the fake smile. There's like jaw pain.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, like
oh,
wow.
through gritted teeth.
Yeah.
Start to understand why people throw.
And I understand
TVs
why
out of hotel rooms.
It is a big violin. I get that a lot.
Oh God. Yeah.
Sometimes even from me, because I'm a piece of shit and a mean friend.
From you, I'll take it. You're not a gross old man on the
bus.
It's
such a big violin.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of that too.
Yeah.
I totally understand why people are like, you don't live anywhere? How does that work? Or like, you know, where are you from? Like, I don't fucking know where I'm from. I don't know, you
I'm
guys.
A traveling bard.
Yeah.
I was born in the wagon of a traveling show. My mother used to dance for the money they'd throw. Stop asking.
What is that from?
I think I need you to come with
song.
Me.
Oh, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to bring you with me.
Yeah, it's like, no more questions.
Yeah, Katie can be, you need a handler.
I'm a Brooklyn bodyguard for some reason.
She's been lifting weights since you've last seen her. She's getting even beefier. Totally be a bodyguard for you.
Okay.
Blue-haired bodyguard.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Did we tell the people that you dyed your hair?
No, I don't know if we haven't caught everybody up, but I have blue hair now.
Wow.
Yeah, I've had red hair
for fucking
8 years.
It's a total brand
change. Yeah. It's cool.
Rebranding.
That's cool. I look like that Japanese painting of a wave now.
I love that painting.
Katsuriya, or whatever the name of the artist
is. Yeah. I've got a filter
for
that on my Instagram. I'll totally take a picture of you with it and apply the filter.
Nice.
Tight. Cool.
And I've got a ukulele with that print on it, so I can just go out and be unbearable on every street corner. Especially because I can only play like 7 ukulele chords and not sing and play at the same time.
I think you'll still get a lot of money.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
Well, maybe. I could try it. I'd probably be humiliated.
Isn't that what busking's all about?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. That's why I've never done it, probably. Can I do stand-up comedy busking?
Oh, my God.
That would be the most painful thing in the world.
That would be so...
It would be really hard, because your audience, like, wouldn't be there for the build-up of the joke. They'd only be either for the beginning or the end. You know?
If you like that premise, you should stay for the punchline. Yeah, right. That's something that my former nemesis, who must not be named, who no longer lives in Vancouver, actually used to do, would, like, create these, like, gonzo shows, like, headlines a ditch, headlines the sea, like, headlines a parking lot, or something like that. And so she'd invite people to these shows, and, like, 7 people would show up, and she'd film it and put it on YouTube, and it's really hard to watch.
Oh, wow. That sounds like, well, Maria Bamford does stuff like that.
Yeah,
but
it's cute when she does it.
No social reference. This is part of the...
This
is what happened when you're a bard.
Yeah, sorry.
You just don't belong to any society,
you
so
just,
you
like,
don't make
live
social
in the
references.
Moment or something weird like that.
Oh,
to a very large extent, I live in the past.
Okay.
Let's be honest.
What was it like to have a bed?
Yeah. For example. Yeah. Well, I'm singing songs that come from before, and yeah. No, but there's a lot of moment. There's a lot of in the moment. Mm-hmm. You have to be in the moment, because you're dealing with, like, you're troubleshooting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you were talking about, like, who needs a tour manager, because you're kind of your own tour manager, but then when you have to try to wrangle other people, you're just like, oh, I see why a tour manager would be helpful.
This particular leg is, like, in the first, probably the first time in 8 years of doing this, I've met up with friends, a friend from Saskatoon who's here for, like, a big friends reunion, so...
Like, Rachel... Joey Ross' friends reunion.
Funny you should say that.
Because
I get
that reference.
Yeah.
No, I'm
on TV then. It's from the past.
I literally was just telling someone that I don't get friends references. And this today, like an hour ago, this was fun. And that is something that happens to me a lot on tour, is like conversation themes.
In
super weird coincidences, things just like, wait, that was in my conversation an hour ago.
Right.
That's funny. It's like, when the hell do I talk about friends ever?
Yeah.
Like, the show, I never. So it's weird.
We talked about that last time, where it's just like, there's a thread that will run through each tour. So like, this cycle of tour, have you had any major themes come up?
Yes, I've had.
Last time it was like, chickens
themes.
And dead children or something.
Oh my God. Wow, you have a good memory.
I do have to edit this podcast, so I have to listen to it a couple times.
Tonight. No, it was, I mean, it was, to put it possibly a little more diplomatically, it was people who've lost their children.
Okay.
Chickens and dead babies maybe isn't the nicest way to say that. But it was, there Nick was a weird crossover.
Nick Cave, not Nick Cage.
Nicolas Cage's new folk album, Chickens of Death.
You know I meant Nick Cave, right? I was one letter off. So sorry, I interrupted
So close,
you.
So close.
Oh my God.
Actually, the theme this time is, well, it's been an, it's still building as it goes because I've only been here for a few days, but Métis and Cree culture
has
been a very, very interesting theme. And then, I don't know how to say it fast.
We got time.
One of the stories I heard about someone who I just met was just this incredible backstory. And she's from China, and I was like, so one of the things from it was like, you know, you just don't know when you meet someone what the backstory is, and it is so much more dramatic, and you would never know any of that if someone hadn't just sat and told. And it wasn't her that told it was her husband, and he was like, she doesn't like it when I tell the story. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll try to honor that. But and then I was listening to it and thinking, she's already been here for, you know, I don't know, 20 years at least, and is super successful, and like has a kind of high power job and stuff, and so I was thinking about the I love how we go from like complete silliness to like, here's a oreat, so it's going to be super heavy and serious.
Yeah,
right now.
We love it.
That's what I do.
We love it. That's life.
Is that when you have this like incredibly intense life, and then you hit a point of normalcy, the longer the gap, the longer that normalcy continues, the harder it is to reconcile the fact that you're different and weird or trauma, you know, like the PTSD stuff, like just when you're right from it, you know why you feel intense and weird and scared and stuff. But when it's, and I can relate to that on certain aspects of my life. So that's one of the things I was thinking about when I heard her story. It was like, holy cow, you know, this stuff gets carried, but it's no longer is carried consciously, like right in front of you. And so I'm curious how other people process that.
Yeah, you start to forget a little bit, like
why?
And then you're like, well, I guess I've always kind of felt this way. And so I guess that's just sort of who I am or how I feel or how I react to these things. And it's like, oh no, that's from that really bad thing that happened like a long time ago.
Yeah.
Remember? And you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, when I get really anxious and, like, start to, like, my anxiety's been really good lately.
That's good.
But when it comes back up again, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember when it first started, but it was so long ago that, like, the inciting incident, like, is so far in the past, like,
And it's a tricky thing. I've been sort of dealing with it on and off in the last few years of, like, I knew when I had PTSD when it was obvious, and then I was okay for a few years, and then suddenly I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea I was still carrying it until it erupted again,
oh,
right?
God.
So it's like, whoa, okay, so that's still there, you know? And it just comes, I don't know if it ever goes away for people or if it, and one of the interesting things is there's a song, one of my newer songs, the way I intro it is this is about the 5-minute window when you're not anxious. And in Canada, everybody laughs. And then I introduced it in Europe and people were like, and I'm like, do you guys not talk publicly about anxiety here yet? You should. There's no stigma in Canada anymore. You guys need to be able to talk about these things.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Germany. Yeah. You don't need to just keep it all inside.
Yeah. I didn't know that they just passed, like, gay marriage there. I figured that happened years ago. It was just, like, 2 days ago that they passed it. Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, see, I thought it would have been...
Because Berlin is so queer.
Yeah. No, seriously. It's just, like, that seemed really odd to me. I was like, wow, that's backwards.
It's funny, a lot of people were talking about Merkel being, like, a fairly conservative leader.
Oh, yeah.
But now she's gotten this through, like... the insane right-wingness of everybody else around.
She's turned into
I've got to be the voice of the liberal left. You know, like,
yikes.
It's been a very interesting shift.
Yeah, I saw this thing where it was, like, Marcon, and then Merkel, and then Trudeau, like, you're liberal champions, and it's, like, fan fiction versus reality a little bit, where it's, like, they're all amazing, and then it's, like, oh, like, Canada's selling, you know, arms to Saudi Arabia, like... You know,
yay!
But like Trudeau wore really good rainbow socks
but
on Gay
nice
Pride,
things.
but they still sell weapons to places where we persecute gay people, or they persecute gay
and
people
and women and in general. Yeah, it's
Yeah, this whole holiday, because it was just Canada Day, so that brings up a lot. You're saying Métis and Cree culture, yes. Like, I had a lot of thoughts yesterday just around reconciliation, and, like, yeah. It's Canada's 150th birthday, and the budget was just ridiculous. Astronomical for these parties that were being thrown all over the country. Approve. Like, all year,
yeah.
Billions of dollars, and there are so many First Nations reserves that have no clean drinking water.
Yeah, no,
for 20 years, they haven't had clean drinking water.
It's nuts.
Like, that money could have so easily. So I was just like, I made a post. I was like, call your MP and be like, I want to pay more taxes for drinking, like, clean drinking yeah. water. Or, like, please do, like, redirect funds. Fucking defense spending, go to hell. Like,
yeah.
We need to save the people yeah. that are living in our country.
It
that
is
are...
so gross. Even just the decorative stuff, like, I notice it in Calgary a lot. Like,
yeah.
You've made a big giant red ball on a bridge. Like, what the fuck are you doing
yeah,
with
someone
money?
Got, like, $1 million for that.
Yeah.
So I did get to go to a, like, a fancy schmancy ass party last night. For the fireworks, it was put on by the Port of Vancouver, and it was, like, felt a little conflicty, because I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, like, it's, I don't give a shit about Canada Day, I think it's awful, the money that's being spent, but I'm like, oh, it's a private, the Port of Vancouver, like, it's a private thing.
Yeah.
So, like, they're not getting federal funding.
Right.
I found out that they are getting federal funding, so the fireworks display was $1 million last
Whoa.
Night.
Wow.
And, but I had, like, an amazing view, I got tons of free food, I got tons of great wine, like, I'm such a fucking champagne socialist, like, I love bougie, tasty, good stuff. Like, we got, like, small plates. There was, like, an heirloom beet salad thing, and then there was, like, a little pork cheek, like...
You're
and then
going
they had
to
a...
hell, Chris.
I know,
you're going to hell.
So tasty.
But it's so
hell
yummy.
In our seasonal
hand. I know, and really, really good wine. Like, it was awesome.
Meanwhile,
then...
I watched the fireworks and was like, PTSD.
I know.
PTSD.
I know.
It sounds like bombs. It looks like Scud missiles. I can't.
Oh,
yeah, no, I can't.
Yeah.
I hate fireworks.
It's so bad.
They're pretty.
Yeah.
They're just
so
don't
loud.
Like big boomy noises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's totally fair.
We don't have the view that we used to of the river where they would have the barge, and because uh-huh. out in New West they do fireworks
yeah.
too, but it was just loud. It
yeah.
was just loud. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
My friend,
and your friend's kitty ran away because of the fire.
Jordan Ducharme, yeah, he's a comic in town, and his little like gray tabby cat who just had surgery ran away with a cone on its head. So
oh,
hopefully
I,
that little
I would like
comes
to
back.
Think humanity is nice enough to be extra, like,
loving
help.
To that
yeah,
kitty.
Like,
yeah.
He's
yeah.
so vulnerable.
I'd like to assume that the cat's probably just sort of stuck on a bush somewhere
yeah.
and will be found very soon.
That is
oh,
the saddest
cat.
Little picture I've
cold
had in
cat.
My mind.
Yeah. He's a little scrapper, apparently, so knows how to take care of himself. But,
it's harder with a cone on your
it's
head.
Harder with, it's hard out there with a cone.
I know, yeah. like, he's gonna get so bullied by all the other cats.
Like, oh, you're a nerd. Your raccoon beat you up and you had to get a surgery.
Aww.
I hope the raccoon didn't come back to even the score.
Oh, no.
Or not even the score. Finish the job. I suppose it'd be the adage.
Yikes.
That's...
Yeah.
Hope that cat turns up.
Me too.
Yeah.
I got to see a live special acoustic performance by Sam Roberts at this party last night. It was
oh, yeah?
Where he's just, like, narrowed eyes. It's so bougie. And he sang this song that's, like... It's, like, an anti-Canada song, sort of, or at least just, like, the Canadian dream is, like...
Right.
Is not a... And so we're all, like, singing along, like, S-O-C-I-A, L-I-ism is here to stay, while we're in this boot... And it's, like, me and, like, all these politicians, super rich fuckers, like, in really nice suits, like, dignitaries from around the world. And, like, singing along with that, I'm like, this is weird and so fake yeah. and weird.
That needs to be a t-shirt.
I had a good time.
This is really weird and fake and weird. Needs to be on a t-shirt.
I got to meet him. He's nice. I don't know.
He's a handsome man, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's pretty handsome.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it was like, it was a fun thing where I'm just like, fuck, I'm so bougie, but I can be multifaceted.
I have a song about that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Multifacetedness?
It's okay to
like
Brie?
Your...
Is that what it's called?
It's okay.
No, it's a song about like, you know... I think the first line of the song is, I did not sponsor a poor child in Africa.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I haven't done all these things, but I'm still going to hell. Because
mm-hmm.
I, or like, I've never done anything wrong. I've never done any harm to anybody. I do good things. I'm a nice person, but
yeah.
I'm still going to hell.
Because yeah.
it's not even close to enough.
Yeah,
right?
But like, we need to, when do you give yourself a break? We talk about this a lot
yes.
too, because like... You can only...
You're talking to the woman who literally never gives herself a break.
Yeah, I guess
I don't know. Not that I'm out there doing, like, social activism, but, yeah, taking a break
you,
is a bit...
You are in your way, though. That's, like, your change through music of, like, touching people
yeah.
and affecting that.
Yeah,
which
you
know
what?
You talk about and you're like, it feels lofty, but, like,
well,
it's real.
Well, I went in, and when I was in Serbia, I went there and we ended up, like, the reason we went there was to actually, like... give food to refugees in a very, like, spontaneous street guerrilla kind of
nice.
Thing.
The food nut bomb sort of way.
Yeah, and everyone, before that, I had this sort of public thing on Facebook going, like, I honestly, I just don't know. I either have to, because I grew up going, like, how come people didn't help us? Mm-hmm. And now I don't know how to help. So I either have to figure the fuck out how to help or forgive people for not helping us.
Ooh.
And it's a big, big thing for me, right?
Jesus
so
Christ.
I posted this whole big thing that ended with, just tell me what to do. And don't tell me you're sad and don't tell me your political theories about how we got here. Just tell me what the fuck to do. Mm-hmm. And the next day, literally, like, oh, came down from the universe. Here is this opportunity to go to Serbia and do this work with refugees. But when I posted that, everybody was saying, but you do, you give your music, yeah. And I was like, putting food in people's hands that are starving is different. It's just different. And I would go and do that again in a heartbeat, and I can sing for the rest of my life and never feel as direct a...
There, yeah.
And that was a frustrating... I mean, that was still not enough, but it was definitely... Yes, music contributes good things to the world. Yes, clearly, I believe that, or I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But
I'm snorting so much in this episode. I'm just like, keep getting all of these dark moments of hilarity.
I know,
we
right?
need to make an animation of you snorting.
Just a little of my face turns into a cute little piglet every time I do it.
So yeah, what have you had some? That seems like a really major highlight of this last sort of cycle around. Like, what have been
that,
some...
That was good on a number of levels because it was totally spontaneous. I didn't know I was going to Serbia until, like, 3 days before I went there.
Cool.
It was a whole new country. It was a whole new language. I went with two other guys, so it was also, like, a road trip, which my touring life is more like me on a train or me on a bus. So
right.
it was, like, we were all singing in the car and stuff. That was really
fun.
Yeah, and I love that stuff, so it was nice... But I don't think I realized, and this is going to sound, I don't even know what word to use for what it's going to sound like, but for 8 years of living on the road, I didn't realize that there was, that I was kind of bored. That, or, to, well, I mean, there's literally never a dull moment in my life, but the going some, doing something really spontaneous and really new was so invigorating. I felt, because I, you know, I feel old and cranky a lot, and this is like, oh, I can do anything! It was like, and you know, like, I think I was smoking a pack of cigarettes a day and drinking, like, rakia, and I was like, I don't do those things anymore. Like, it was just...
Yeah, you had sort of a brand new, like, almost out-of-body, like, out-of-routine, for sure.
I had energy, and I was sleeping 1 hour a night, and it was, like, super emotionally intense, and, but I was like, from the moment it got brought up as, like, do you want to come with us, to the moment I came back, I had no fear, I had no anxiety, I had no nothing. It was just...
You were just running
on,
like...
on this amazing mission that was obviously, like, meant to happen because I'd put it out there the day before. I don't know what I was running on, but it was really awesome, so...
Cool.
Yeah.
There's that thing about, like, when people can be cool in a crisis or whatever because you're just like, okay, I'm in help mode,
I
know what to do... I'm just going to do this thing, and you can just do that. And it's very...
And then you crash
like,
afterwards.
Insatiable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a video... There's some video footage of the handing out stuff, and you just see it. Like, we're just, like... There's 100 hands through this window, and they're just going, apple or banana or whatever they're asking for. And it's just like, 1, 2, 3. Like, we're just handing things out really fast. And then you see it done, and then you just see me go, like... like, I totally break down once the window and doors close. Like, well,
yeah,
it's not a normal situation for grown men to be that excited about an apple or some stupid candy we were giving out.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, jelly, jelly, jelly. I'm like, holy fuck. It's a messed up situation. The world is a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's so many awesome people in it.
There I go again.
I mean that totally sincerely, though. Like, there's really an astoundingly... massive amount of awesomeness all around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said you lived in, like, Berlin for, like, almost a month this time? Is that...
It was supposed to be a month, and then I went to Serbia, so
okay.
It was a little bit shorter. But, yeah, it was trying to start up a new album there and connect with friends, play some shows.
Mm-hmm.
Started having more shows around the Frankfurt area, which is a new territory for me, so that was really nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you kind of trying to do more, like, let's stay in one place for a longer time and kind of have a home base to branch out from, or...?
It's kind of just worked out that way that I know people, I know enough people there now. Holland's really small. So the first year or two that I toured there, I didn't realize how small it was. So I was looking for places to stay in every town I had a show at. And over the years of doing it, I'm like, or I could just take the train back to Amsterdam at the end of the night. Like, it's an hour, you know? So it's the same as, like, going across town in Vancouver. So so I can now kind of have a, I call it a, like a home base for my suitcase, really, because that thing is massive. So if I can dump a big suitcase down and just do little offshoot gigs. It was a pretty busy tour, though. I think I played 16 gigs in 1 month in May.
Wow.
So it was definitely busy and exhausting in its own way.
Yeah.
But nicer, I only had one bar gig.
Oh.
And I didn't even think about it until I was doing the bar gig, and I'm like, holy fuck, this is my only bar gig. And it used to be, like, that's mostly fun. Bar gigs, and then I'd be like, oh, I had one really nice listening gig. And that's been a really nice
program.
I'm like, I'm getting better. Things are getting better. It's just a nicer, way nicer thing than standing in an Irish pub singing your little
trying to, like, get over the din of, like, everything, everyone else's conversation.
Yeah.
Listening gigs. Well, I hope that tonight it will be a good listening gig. We set up our living room. I hope some folks
It is
come.
What it is.
I know. I always am like, I hope that people come, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yes, they will. It's always good.
Whoever's there is there.
I cast the net very, very wide in my invitation. So
cool.
My favorite thing is when I do that, it's an open house from, like, basically now till whenever.
Yeah.
And I want people to, like, bring their kids, like, do whatever. And I just invited everyone I knew, basically, in town. And so it'll be a neat thing where I love it when, like, a mishmash of people come and then they wind up like, oh, I actually do know you from such and such, or they make new friends that they didn't know in the city.
The
and
new
I can
friend
be, like,
thing is really nice.
And people say it's really hard to make friends in Vancouver, but it's like, just come to one of my parties.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone leaves being friends.
It is hard to make friends when you stay at home and watch Netflix nonstop.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So hard
you
to make friends.
Do actually
you
need
go
to
out?
Go
no.
out.
Yeah.
You show up to things.
Well,
happens.
Now that it's cool to admit you have social anxiety, it's also, like, an excuse to never do anything.
Yeah.
Truth.
Yeah. And, I mean, I was going to say I'm all for social anxiety. I'm all for
being open
about it or understanding that aspect of yourself. But I think internet has, like, it's made it easier, but it's also made it harder.
Yeah. There's not as much of an incentive where it's, like, your friends are super kind and generous and gentle with you, which, like, I appreciate when people are like that for me, and I try to always extend that to friends, but then it's like, you can just be like, oh, okay, I'm not gonna go, and then you just never go to a thing, and it's like,
yeah.
I don't
know.
That
can be a bit of a cycle.
I find myself in those cycles sometimes,
yeah.
And then sometimes I just have to be like, you know what, I just have to push myself, and I'm gonna go to this, like, I went to a march for an anti-pride, because, like, the Vancouver police are in Pride,
right,
and so
right.
Black Lives Matter put together something, and they were very specific, like, we need white people to come and, like, be in this march and, like, intervene
right.
if necessary, and I was like, I can't stay home for this, like, even though I don't like crowds, like, I just have to fucking do it, because it's very important and it's necessary, and so I'm glad that I went, it was great.
That's cool.
But, like, I could easily have just been like, I am very anxious around crowds, and people would be like, I totally understand. You don't have the spoons for that. No problem.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, everyone's got their own limits to that, so I can't generalize to anybody.
Everybody knows what pushing themselves is for
exactly.
them.
And sometimes pushing themselves is saying that you're going to come and do a thing.
And then doing it.
See,
and then not, but then and not doing it, but even that is pushing yourself, because you could just, like, not say that you're going to do anything ever, right? So, like, at least having some engagement is really important.
True.
Yeah.
My, like, most of my socializing is my own gigs. And so, like, when you have social anxiety and don't want to go, but it's your gig.
You have to make money and play
the
show.
So, there's the, I mean, it's been an interesting ride, for sure. Like, I didn't used to have it. So, when I started having it, I'm like, I really don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk to people tonight. I don't want to get up and share my entire soul on stage. I just don't want to do this, but I have to.
Do you feel like when you perform, is it a different feeling than just having a conversation with people? Because it's like you've got the stage and the spotlight, so when you're sharing a story, it's not like a conversation as much. It's more of a performance, or the way that you do it is pretty...
It depends
real.
On the type of venue. Yeah,
yeah.
It's pretty damn real.
Yeah.
House concerts are a bit more interactive, so it depends on the type of show it is. But I have definitely, when I'm anxious, I get a fatigue in conversation that's yeah. like, ugh, I get like I lose my breath or whatever the symptoms are of that particular, but on stage it's way more intense because like everybody's looking at you. Everybody's looking at you, not just the one or two people that are talking to you. Yeah. So you're just like, and you know you have to lead the evening for the entire fucking evening, right? And so whatever's going through your brain at the same time that you're doing that, is it can be pretty intense, yeah.
Yeah, I think we talked about it last time, just like your fear of like fainting on stage and stuff like that. Has that kind of passed?
It's gotten better. Again, I think I was just really
you were sick and
there was one particular show that Chris was at and part of, and I had had the flu all week, so it wasn't a completely ludicrous thought when I felt faint that I might just be faint because I had been really sick, and it was only later that I realized that part of that was like a panic attack. That I had had on stage. And I remember really clearly, like, going, I don't have enough air and I'm going to faint. But I could hear myself singing and it sounded fine. Like, there was this, like, really weird separation.
Automaton,
of,
almost. Yeah, like, yeah. Just on autopilot.
It was so freaking weird. And I only realized later that night when I, you know, they brought me back here and they, like, tucked me into my little couch bed and were very kind. And I thought, like, I just need to sleep because I'm sick and I couldn't fall asleep and my thoughts were racing. And I was suddenly realized I couldn't picture any future show without that happening.
Yeah.
And then I recognized it for what it was. It still took me a couple of years of that happening every night, every show. It made me not want to book shows.
God, that's so intense.
It was really, really intense. And I had to... I basically had to endure them because I knew they were panic attacks while they were happening.
Yeah, you're like, I will survive this because I've survived others. Like,
yeah, and that eventually got easier, but it was, I don't know if, you know, who's had one or not, but...
Everyone in this room multiple.
Everyone, yeah.
Dozens
so,
of times.
High fives!
High fives all around.
When you're having one, even if part of your brain is saying this is a panic attack, the other part of your brain is going, or it's a stroke, or it's a heart attack. You don't know. It might be. You might be dying right now. You might be. And you're doing that, and your mine are very physical. So I'm sitting on a bar stool singing, and people are walking in, and my heart is, like, literally exploding with every new person walking into the room.
Oh, my God.
And my heart's pounding. My legs are shaky. Like, it's, I don't know if I'm going to... I feel very wobbly, and so I've made it through a bunch of shows feeling like that from start to finish without anybody knowing that that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting.
Yeah.
That is not how I want my career to feel. Like, that's your body going like, we need to reconsider a few things. I don't know why and how it's gotten better, so I get little mini... thought, like, intrusive thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
And then I can kind of placate them faster and easier.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a non-issue. It's not like it's completely gone. It's like, how am I going to feel at this show? Or how am I... And I have actual injuries in my legs and feet, so it does make it hard. Like, there's pain involved in standing for two sets and stuff. So there's all these physical considerations that I didn't used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And if I let the vortex happen where it's like, you shouldn't be doing this anymore, you need to quit, you need to find... That is not something you want to be thinking while you're on stage performing.
Yeah.
I need a career change, you know. But I've been really, really, really enjoying my... Like, there were a couple where, you know, like, I just don't feel well. I'm tired. My stomach hurts. So there's concern and fatigue and shakiness. But not at all of them. And
I'm glad that you've been getting, like, yeah, more positive shows and doing more, and, like, they've been more, like,
there's
enjoyable.
Been,
like...
Yeah, I actually read a really interesting article a little while ago, and it was another songwriter I know posted it, and she posted it on Facebook with her headline was, "We need to talk about this more." And it was an article by three authors who had each published books. And they said while they were working on the book, they were fine because they were immersed in the project and they had their goal and they knew what they were doing. And then they all hit a marker of success. They all hit some kind of thing. And they all ended up being diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder and depression. Huh. And it had to do with the sudden pressure that was put on them. And when I read that, I realized this problem started for me now that I think about it, when I suddenly got a bunch of really good press.
Oh, yeah.
And up until that point, I was this girl, anonymous girl, walking into a bar with a guitar, and I knew that people kind of were like, oh, it's probably going to be boring. And I knew I was going to be better than what they
thought. Their expectations, yeah.
So I had this confidence of, like, I'm going to blow these people away. And then it was like, now there's people coming to the show who've read this article about me. And it's like, she's literally one of this nation's most lyrically impactful vocalists, and I'm like, wow. I can't do this.
Oh, my God. And
what do you mean? I can't live up to that.
Oh, yoke no. of praise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, the event that I made, I put in tons of your press quotes.
No, that's okay, because I am proud of,
yeah.
You know, but I had to kind of go, they wrote that because you are good.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not, you don't have to do anything differently. You were doing what you were doing when they said that. So
yeah.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just raises the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird job. Yeah, it's a really weird job. But there's all, you know, a lot of, you know, some people read self-help books, some people tour for 8 years and get bits and pieces from conversations they have with people.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's true. You get a nugget from every person that you meet.
I get so much. Like, yoga trainers have helped me a lot. Like, there's so many different realms of help out there that I've been given little presents all along that that I can use as tools, and they definitely help. So yeah.
Should we take a quick break and sure. Refresh our sparkling water?
Just speak really loudly.
Yeah, we're back. Katie's podcasting from the floor.
Coming to you live from the fucking floor.
The fucking floor.
Turns out I'm a piece of shit.
Katie injured her SI joint, and Orit, our traveling bard, happens to have a massage pad thing.
Are we locked the fuck on right now?
Yeah.
This is
okay.
Not product placement.
Yeah, Dr. Ho has
although you could
us.
Ask for some Dr. Ho love. And this is the best thing that's ever happened
what
to me.
What is it? Pain.
So it's a TENS machine.
Oh, cool, yes.
So, you know, physiotherapists and chiropractors and stuff use them in their office, kind of.
Doulas use them for labor.
Mm, right.
Apparently, it's really good. So it's like an electronic pad that kind of just, like, zaps your muscles
a
little bit.
Zaps you up.
So we're going to have big fun today, kids.
Yeah. We're about to
electrocute my
yeah.
butt. So that's why I've been so quiet, is because I hurt.
Yeah. And also because we all are pretty verbose people, so
sometimes I need to be a little quieter.
Yeah, and you know, Katie, what they say, the old saying.
They might be starting to.
Everybody hurts.
Everybody hurts.
Do you want me to apply those to your back, or
no,
are you good?
No, I gotcha.
Okay, so there's like some sort of silicone pads that we wet, and then you put it on your lower back.
Wherever you hurt.
Or wherever you hurt, yeah.
And then there's three settings. There's A, B, or C.
Ooh.
And they send different pulses. And then you determine how powerful the jolt
is. Oh, God.
Is.
Let's put it to its minimum.
I know that partway through, so you turn it on this way. Oh, it doesn't hurt at all. It feels really good when you're in pain.
Okay, so.
And then you make it higher by turning that dial.
Okay.
Yeah. This thing is.
Electricity in my butt.
What does it feel like?
You can try it later.
Okay.
Yeah.
It feels pretty cool.
It's just, it's very good for pain. Like, it's, the infomercial at 3 a.m. is true. It really is.
I wish people could see my face right now. It's like, it's vaguely surprised. It's just.
There is a lot of pain. There's a lot of pain in my life. There's pain involved with travel and,
yeah.
You know, sitting on buses and trains and carrying a lot of weight and playing guitar all the time. So,
do you just like turn this on when you're, Katie's just like rocking out to this, like, thanks,
feels
Dr.
really
Ho.
Cool.
It helps.
Nice.
It really just, it gives you relief when you, especially like sciatica pain and stuff. That's,
oh yeah,
like,
this would work great for like neuralgia or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm
neuralgia.
Great at
words. There's
pain.
Like the pain that you can't find a position to be in to be comfortable. It's good for that.
And we've got the funk band back in the basement.
Banana,
you can hear
now,
little streams
now,
of funk. There's also a jar of tequila in my fridge, apparently.
Ooh,
like, really good
the
Mexican
old jar
tequila.
Of tequila.
This
I
feels
like tequila.
So great.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, my God. How many batteries is
this? I have
like
more batteries.
And
look.
We can, yeah, we've got batteries in
oh,
the house.
Oh, this is the greatest.
I guess you need to get one.
Yeah. I thought I had them. Oh, perfect.
I do not fuck around, you guys. There is nothing worse than having a really badly pulled back when you're a guest in someone else's home.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
it's,
my God.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep. Yeah. Wow. Okay, so I had, like, a really bad knockoff version of this that just didn't, straight up didn't work. It did a little bit of it, but this is way better.
I should warn you that partway through the 10 minutes, it intensifies for no reason, apparent reason to me, so
good.
You might suddenly, we might suddenly hear her scream. It doesn't hurt.
It happens sometimes. Woo! Yeah, there we go.
Riding the lightning.
How was your week, Katie, or the last couple days?
Oh, great, spoiler, actually. Spoiler. I mean, apart from the terrible back, spoiler alert that we're releasing these out of order,
yeah,
which we don't very often do. Yeah. Because someone, it was very important to them to be episode 69. So,
I'm
so
not
you are 68.
I'm like, 68's good.
I mean, it's fine. It's not as nice
as
69.
It's not as awesome, but whatever.
But, yeah, no, apart from the back thing, everything's great. I slept like a baby last night.
I just want you to talk so that I can hear your voice.
Well, I've been getting into this really bad habit of just staying up super late if I don't have to work the next day, so I'll be up till like 2 a.m.
I've been
frequently.
Up until like 2 or 3 a.m. a lot, and I think like the days are long.
Yeah, I think
summer.
That's it, is that I just like don't need as much sleep, but I'm still tired because it's hot.
Yeah, and like it feels like it takes so much longer for me to like ramp down, so I'll like be out of the house until like 10,
and then
the sun still hasn't gone down, and then I'm like, well, I need to unwind. That takes like 3 hours, you know. But if I had been home at 7, I would be ready for bed at 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I haven't gone to bed at 10 o'clock since I was
5.
Yeah, pretty no. Yeah, maybe junior high.
Yeah,
and I'm envious a little bit. When I'm jet lagged, I have normal hours.
Oh, weird.
Like I'm like, I woke up at 8 in the morning today. What? Something's really wrong. But yeah, no, it's weird.
Yeah, last night, yesterday, I celebrated, I didn't really do anything for Canada Day, and I wore all blue, so if anyone asked, I was a Quebec separatist. I'm not. But now that I've got this blue hair, all the stuff that I used to wear to contrast my red is just, like, very on point, so it's just, like, blue, 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 blue. And that's my mom's decorating aesthetic, too, so I went over to their house yesterday, and I, like, got lost in everything they couldn't find
anymore.
You just camouflaged. Yeah, I was complete, I could have lied down on their bedding, and they never would have seen me. Exactly, total blue man group. So I went out to Cloverdale to hang out with my parents and Dennis and Anita, because everybody else, like all the other fam jam in my family, they were all off like in Whistler or on the island or something like that. So it's like, oh, Katie, you love your old parents enough to come out for these. I'm like, I don't have kids or plans. It's fine. And also, they promised me lots of white wine. So my mom had just gotten back from a trip to Oliver. She's like, I got all these Okanagan whites. I'm like, yeah, that's what's available in the Okanagan. It's a whole lot of whites.
Yeah.
But I got some really, but drink, you know, local instead wine. I got Bacchus from the Chaberton wineries, which is very close by, in fact, and not in the Okanagan.
Yeah.
But I easily drank a bottle and a half of wine with my parents and then slept like a baby and didn't have a hangover.
Great.
Nice. This is incredible. I went to bed at like midnight and I woke up a couple of times for like half an hour, but I mostly slept until almost 10:30. So
pretty
a lot for me.
And then, yeah, when I was like, oh, you know, we're going to have, like, a bit of a delay. I have to go grocery shopping, and Arit's coming. I didn't know you were coming from White Rock on the bus.
Neither did
insane.
I, really, until I knew.
But Katie was just like, I'm going back to bed like a demon.
Like a teen.
Teen
hey,
demon.
Like a teen. Oh, teen demon. That's a good name for a band, too.
Teen demon.
Okay,
running down Teen Demon. Love
I'm
it.
Not
that's
sure what that reminded me of, but I'm pretty sure there's a song.
It's like it sounds like a 50s love song, like
yeah,
Earth
like,
Angel or something.
Yeah,
like,
Teen
yeah.
Lover.
Demon,
yeah.
Teen Demon.
Yeah.
Will you be
it
mine?
It was in that genre for sure.
Let's see
teen
what a different
Teen Demon can't go on.
I wonder what
yeah, you
B
can try
feels
B.
Like.
They're different. Different.
What does B feel?
Ooh. There's only one way
Ooh.
To find out.
Ooh. 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 It's weird. Okay, let's see what C feels like. Whoa!
There really should... This should be a video cast. This one particular episode.
I love... You know what the best part is?
Sorry.
Is that if you had, like, a back view, it's very undignified because my pants are pulled halfway down my butt crack.
I just, to me, the joy of this situation is that I am, like,
let's set it up in a
I am
here.
Set up to not believe infomercials. Like, they
I was going to boomerang it.
But this is actually something I saw 3 a.m. on television, and it actually works.
That's the worst.
It is. I'm going to delete it forever.
I'm very attractive.
You are.
Not when I'm making that face, though.
Yeah.
Woo! No, that is not.
This is wild. I love this.
This is good. I'm having this. This is good podcasting. Katie drives a TENS machine. Woo! You know what? They can't all be. I'm just kidding.
They can't all be winners. How? You can turn this up so high, like to 5?
I don't. You can turn it up to 10, I think.
Oh, jeez.
Turn it up to 11.
No, yeah. I think you would. It would be really painful, I think.
Or most likely.
It also depends where you have it, because I put it on my shoulder sometimes, and I think if it's close to a bone, it's very uncomfortable.
Mm. Yeah, this just feels pretty awesome. It feels like someone's just zapping my butt pain.
Yep.
Which is cool.
Zap Ooh. The butt pain.
Zap the pain away. Nice. Zap the pain away.
Exactly.
Electrocute my butt cheeks like you wanted to.
That's the new jingle for Dr. Ho. Yeah. It's just Peaches.
Courtesy of Peaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. You guys should seriously watch the infomercial, though.
There's that's like where I recognize Dr. Ho's from. Okay. I love infomercial items, like, seriously. I want a Banoodle.
What?
It's this little thing where you, like, I don't know what it does, but it closes up chip bags really tight, and that's a necessary thing for me because I love chips. But I also always finish the bag, so I probably don't really need that thing.
A Banoodle.
I'm just trying to think of other infomercial products that I've purchased. I do have a Slap Chop, but it's not a Slap Chop
brand.
You know what?
The Magic Bullet is an excellent product.
Yeah,
it's
true.
It really is.
It's true.
Yep.
Now we've proven that the Dr. Ho's is good. A Turkey Twist is also pretty phenomenal.
A what?
That's one of those, like, super absorbent hair towels that you wrap your hair up in. It's lighter than a towel.
Ooh. I have not heard of this.
Slurps up all the moistures. Yeah. Mm. It's good stuff.
Interesting. The ShamWow.
Yeah, we had good. Some of those, yeah. They're fine.
Not all of them are garbage, right?
Yeah. I had a Snuggie, and I don't know where it is, and I'm sad, because it's actually, like...
Really comfy.
It's so fleecy. It's, like, synthetic fleecy... And so it just is so warm but so thin at the same time. And
someone gave me one in Holland. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the formula of those infomercials that is so like.
Are you a dumb fuck?
Yeah. Are you like.
Are you having trouble with basic activities? Maybe you need this super specialized thing.
Yeah.
And then it's like the fake people in it are like, oh, yes. And the giant smiles of like.
I do want to roast a chicken by itself and use that device for nothing else around for peel. Thank you so much. That's the one I remember seeing all the time. He always had, like, he wore, like, a button-up shirt and suspenders, and he'd be like, you need a pasta maker! You need, like, this home rotisserie machine or a dehydrator or something.
I don't live anywhere, so, like, buying a dehydrator would be a really bad move on my part. But I remember buying a raw food cookbook thinking, I'm not going to go all the way, but it would be, and then it's like, you need a dehydrator for every single episode.
Yeah, dehydrate, like, raw food I like, but yeah, to, like, you have to make, like, all your own crackers out of dehydrated da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, like, and you need, like, 3 cups of cashews for every recipe.
Yeah,
it's
cashews
like,
are fucking expensive, man.
Yeah, this is not for,
I actually have... What I've been interested in this thing because I listened to a podcast and it was Pete Holmes' podcast and he had like a nutritionist on.
Mm.
And it was like a little bit of an obnoxious episode because the guy just basically yelled at the listeners like, if you're eating any kind of like fast food or this or that, you're like committing suicide by food. Like it was really intense and it was very like... Like, Pete Holmes was trying to like gel. It's like, well, we're not here to fat shame. And the guy's like, yes, I am.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then he started talking about, like, the Nutritarian diet.
Oh, Lord.
Which makes it sound so whatever. But at the same time, the things that he said that you should eat, like, are all things that I really like. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I haven't been eating a lot of lately that I'm upping my intake of is beans. I just, like, haven't really eaten beans for a really long time. And I'm like, he was just like, they're so fucking good for you. They're super fibrous. They're really whatever. So, like, mm-hmm. just like, yeah. So, like, for the last 2 days, I've just had, like, beans twice a day for meal, and like my digestion already feels amazing. Like, I had really bad stomach problems for like a while
because
of this new medication. But he's like, eventually your gut biome builds up to like break down the beans if you just like keep eating them,
keep eating them,
and then you don't fart as much, apparently. So, I don't know. I'm gonna
go with
like his acronym was G bombs. So, if you eat like greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds. Are all, like, really good and super healthy for you and whatever, like, can help reverse diabetes, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And I'm like, whatever, like, the stupid medication that they put me on is supposed to be for, like, insulin regulation, so I'm like, it's fucking my stomach up, so why don't I just try eating this way for a week and see if that feels better than taking this medication, and so far, so good.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It's, yeah, whatever.
Fixing yourself by diet is always, like, a good thing to try.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, sure. I'll see what it is. I'm going to make a really fucking awesome chickpea salad, later.
Chickpeas are so cheap and amazing, cheap and cheerful, right? Like, it's the opposite of cashews, pretty much.
And really, like, brown rice and beans is, if you buy it and make it yourself, it's cheap.
Yeah.
It's affordable. Cheapest thing. So you can actually be really healthy and not rich.
Yeah, that's, like, almost everything you need to be alive, pretty much, is beans and rice.
Yeah. Lentils. Lentils are super healthy.
I love lentils. Mm-hmm. I really am interested in pulses. I do have, I don't know if it's the same problem you have, but I do get, like, very bloated.
I look pregnant.
Yeah.
I look like 7 months pregnant.
Wowzers. Yeah. No, I do get pretty rooty tooty with the beans.
Fresh and fruity?
I'm always fresh and fruity. But I find trying to eat what makes me feel good is really hard to do because it's not always what I want to eat.
Yeah.
Because normally what I want to eat is fucking fried, delicious things that are so good.
Yeah,
right?
they had a poutine bar at this place last night, of course, because it's Canada Day.
Poutine bar.
Yeah.
All you can eat poutine.
They give you fries and then you can pick all the different toppings to put on and stuff. Awesome. And of course it was like, you know, pulled pork and brisket and, like, heavy, heavy, like, meat and gravy and potatoes. And I was, like, I had one bite and I'm, like, this feels bad in my body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You do, so I think you do nice develop to, like, a kind of relationship with food eventually where you just don't want the crappy things anymore. Even though your eye still goes, like, oh, paste. I was in a French pâtisserie yesterday.
Yeah.
You said that so nicely.
Oh, merci. But it was...
I'm so bad
totally French. Chuffed. I'm like, nailed the accent. So I do speak a little Francais.
I am Amélie.
I came off the train, and there was just a Quebecois couple on the train that I was talking to a lot, so I came off the train with a French accent.
Nice.
I'm so fucked with accents when I'm traveling.
You just pick them up?
Yeah, and it's very subconscious. I mean, I'm obviously aware of it while it's happening, but I don't do it on purpose. But on this tour, for some reason, it was really bothering me. Like, it never used to bother me. It was really bothering me because it was like, because my jaw's been hurting more and more and more over the years. And I'm like, this is part of the reason. There's like an impulse to go one way and then it shifts because my accent is modified and I'm speaking so many languages that there's actually like jaw instability as a result.
Whoa, you're like making your face rattle loose by speaking so many different
languages.
Well,
partly by singing loudly for like hours a night, but yeah, there is something. There's all sorts of realizations that, like, with injuries, like, I have an injury that's associated with running or with wearing high heels, and neither of which I ever, ever do. And then one night I was plantar fasciitis, which is a lot better now than it was, but it was bloody painful for a good long while. And I was using the washroom in the middle of the night in one of the places I was staying, and so I was coming back from the bathroom, and I was like, dude, you have been tiptoeing for 8 years in other people's houses. You literally tiptoeed.
Oh, fuck!
Yeah. Yeah,
whoa, so just funny. To be unobtrusive.
Yeah,
you've like injured your
and not smaller. I've given myself injuries by trying to be a nice guest, you know. But like, you wouldn't
think about that.
And that's one thing I have to like super thank yoga for is just this heightened awareness of what's going on in my body as it's happening.
That's
it's
wild.
Like, yeah, it's like, oh wow, look, yeah, you're doing this thing now that this is you should not do. You should not do. Yep,
that's really.
Oh, you guys, this is okay. This is the. A whole other level of that kind of thing. Because those are problems that, like, well, nobody else has that problem. That's not a common problem to be a guest for 8 years. I had a dream while I was in Holland. And I had, like, 3 nights in Belgium where I basically didn't have a meal because I have, like, gluten, like the real deal allergy. So it just didn't work out to
eat. Much.
So I had, like, potato chips for dinner one night. And it was just, okay. So I arrived somewhere where I could offer to cook. And I was like, I'm going to do the cook because I was so desperate for
a meal.
Well, a meal that where I'm in charge of what's going on. Because in Germany, it's like, here's some more cold cuts and cheese. And you're like, love them, but they hurt me. And so I made dinner 2 or 3 nights in a row and I was like so happy.
Sorry.
And then I had a dream where I was explaining to someone in the dream that there is a saying in Dutch for when you do the cooking because you want to eat your own food. And the saying is, the dinosaur is driving the bus.
Oh,
and
my God.
I have such a weird brain. But and then I woke up and because in the dream I was drawing a picture of it to explain it, and it was like a dinosaur pencil crayon like Tyrannosaurus Rex in a kitchen, and there's a little dude in his belly like also cooking. And when I woke up and I'm like, it should have been the other way around.
The dinosaur is driving the bus.
Isn't that brilliant in a weird, stupid way?
I mean, I would believe that as a Dutch phrase. Yeah. Like they have some weird ones. And I remember seeing something similar to that, like, someone invented a fake Australian saying and said that that's something people say in Australia. I saw it on the internet.
Right.
And it was like, it's what you say when someone asks you a dumb question.
Right.
And it's like, hey, oh, you're at this bar. Do you want a beer? Well, I didn't come here to fuck spiders.
Right.
Which I 100% believed as an actual Australian turn of phrase. Come here to fuck spiders, did I, mate? You know?
It sounds legit to me.
It sounds extremely legit.
It totally does, yeah.
And that's so amusing.
Fake news happens on all levels, you guys. You have to be very discerning at all times.
Who's driving the bus, though?
I have laughed at that every day since.
I'm just picturing a T-Rex driving a bus with its little short arms. It just can't reach. It has to push it up so close. The seat has to go so close, but it's, like, big belly. So cute.
We're all going to do cartoon interpretations of this podcast.
It's adorable. I want a dinosaur to drive me.
It's not very often I wake up laughing from one of my dreams, so I was like, this is really awesome. I really outdid myself linguistically tonight.
That's so funny. And it could be. It could 100% be. Like,
it was just with great authority. I was explaining to some random person in the dream like that this is a Dutch saying. And I didn't say it in Dutch, of course.
Practically a Netherlander.
I don't know how to say that.
Let's call Katya right now. Is she asleep? Who cares?
She'll tweet at us regardless.
Tell us what the Dutch is for the dinosaur is driving.
The stupid thing is that, like, sayings are sayings for phenomena that a lot of people have.
Yeah.
And this is a saying for something that, like, maybe 4 people in the world have, because nobody else has this problem. Most of us can control what we eat.
Yeah.
No, any form of tour. Yeah. So you crave the ability to decide what to eat. Yeah. So
even
much,
just like, traveling at all, like, I feel sometimes, like, even when you're kind of indulging on, like, fancy food at a place, whatever, you're traveling and then you're just like, oh god, I just want to make my own
potatoes
thing.
I can remember, like, on tour with the Dreadnoughts, we stopped in Cache Creek or something like that, and I bought one of those bagged salads at a supermarket and just, like, deli chicken and just threw it in there and was
deli,
like, this is what I'm eating.
I mean, that's what I ate on the political campaign, because I couldn't. It was so stressful, like, 12-hour days, and just, like, there was candy and chips there all the time.
I don't know why they
still
do that,
like, volunteers, like, and nice, well-meaning people would bring, like, oh, have some chips to kind of keep you powered. There was one woman that brought, like, a really amazing veggie chili.
That was just, this
so,
is what you need.
And crock pot, so that was really good. But I was just eating really badly, and because there was never any time to, like, sit down, or we'd all, like, go out for, like, dinner at 5 to, like, the cheap burger place because they had happy hour, and it was, like, a $5 burger.
Yeah.
And it was right across the street, you know? So so then one day I just, like, bought a rotisserie chicken and, like, a bag salad and just tossed it together.
Just tossed
it. Great.
Salad is the way to go.
Let's see if this will actually make the sound.
The dinosaur rides the bus.
The dinosaur rides the bus.
There we go.
That sounds like ride the bus. Like, is that R-I-J-D-T means drive?
Yes.
Drive is driving to drive?
Ride is ride.
Ride is ride.
They just use it for other things.
That's so funny. I like
The first phrase I learned in Dutch was "Ik heb CDs te koop," which means I have CDs for sale.
Oh.
And then that was.
That sounds like you just said it takes 2 days to cope.
Oh. That's what I heard.
Yep. And then that was echt gezellig, means that was really charming and cozy.
Oh.
Which there's no word for gezellig in English, so it's like really, and but they all love it when you say that because they're like, oh, she's speaking, and then
she's speaking my language.
So I always tell them on like the, and then there's vergeet niet uitchecken met de over chip card, which is like don't forget to check out with your chip card when you get off the bus, because the bus, like the little voice on the bus says it at every stop. So like by like day 4 on the trains and buses, you're like vergeet niet uitchecken met de over chip card. They have a weird accent because it's a lot, they have a really American R in certain regions.
Yeah.
So it's like this should be European sounding, but it sounds not.
That's just
like
such a weird mishmash. It sounds like English and German had a horrible baby that was then like raised by an American or something.
It's
no
true.
Offense to the Dutch, but your accent is the worst.
It's really weird. It is a weird language. I find it very charming and cute, but it's
Yeah, I prefer German for anything that's kind of guttural. I think it's a little bit more melodic, mm-hmm. but it's all very silly.
Oh, that's interesting, because I find Dutch way more melodic.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of strictly melodic, like what melody means, it's like, it's very sing-songy.
Well, I would trust the two of you to know what melodic means more than I do. Or maybe I just find, like, German can be very murmury and kind of
pleasant.
Pleasant to the ear. Not always.
Tickles your ASMR.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up with, like, only one sort of German reference, which was not at all pleasant. Mm. And so it took, but I remember, like, no, German is a terrible, terrible, harsh language, just because that, like, I literally only ever heard Hitler's speech in German. And then I remember these two really pretty girls, exchange students from Germany in my high school, and then I heard them talk to each other. They were sisters, and I was like, that sounds really lovely.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I was wrong. Perhaps I generalized. Oh,
there's a baby bathwater situation sure.
Yes, I didn't know.
No, not all Germans were Hitler.
Were Hitler, yeah. But I mean, like, you literally grow up with the only German you've ever heard is, like, that, and then, like Holocaust films, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, like,
was that in, growing up in
Canada, Israel, whatever.
Yeah,
it's
anywhere,
just like,
yeah.
It's the
Jewish upbringing.
YouTube personality Fluleborg, who is from Germany, did a game called Name Three Germans to an American audience, like walking through a
Hitler,
fair.
Hitler.
Can you name three Germans, please? Name three Germans. And he'd go up to them and be like, Adolf Hitler? And he'd be like, no, he's fucking Austrian.
That's true, though. That is true.
But literally everybody said Hitler. Like, what about Angela Merkel? Like,
there's
does nobody know any other?
There's a comedian, English, I forget who, Billy
Connolly?
Yeah, and he's got this whole skit of, like, you know, when you hear German speaking, you know, English people are just like, you know, he'll do this, like, three sentences in German, and it's like, but all we really hear is Hitler, 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 Hitler.
Hitler,
like,
Hitler, Hitler.
Yeah.
Hitler, Hitler.
Yeah, it's a hard one to shake.
For sure.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to be on a panel discussion for a part of the Jewish Film Festival in Calgary, and it was a documentary called Germans and Jews, and it was exactly about, like, how German society has had to, like, you know, first kind of in denial and then reintegrated into the education program, and how different, you know, how parents spoke to their children about it and how they spoke to their children about it. And then this, like, increasing Jewish and Israeli population in Germany now, and how do they feel going back to this place that was that place. And the other two people on the panel were German studies professors, and then there was me.
Oh,
like,
wow.
So I was like, but they asked me specifically because they knew I'd been in Germany as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool because I got to say the last thing on the panel, like, because it was like one microphone and it kind of got shared and people were asking questions and stuff. And the last thing, because it ended on a really heavy note of, like, you know, we still have to watch it, and there's still a lot of, because it was right around the elections, and,
there's a rising tide of right-wing fascist bullshit.
Yeah, and scary, like, really scary. And so I got to say, like, you know, but please keep in mind, like, on the ground, everyone I've met there, and everyone everywhere, there's racism everywhere. It's not just a German thing. There's racism everywhere. We have a particular trauma with this place. I've encountered anti-Semitism in every single place I've been to, but I've also pretty much only met amazing people, so let's keep in mind that the world is still okay.
Nice.
Still friendly, you know. You shouldn't not go out and be in the world because of this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like it. It's
going
to be the last word of the podcast then, too.
Good at the last word.
Social anxiety be damned. Whether it's intergenerational trauma or not.
Always good to end on that juicy intergenerational trauma note.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that a pun?
Oh, juicy? Oh my god, no!
I've been hanging out with punsters. Yes.
Okay. I don't think I'm allowed to make Jewish puns.
No, only Jews are allowed to make, and I am one, so I guess
God chose your people for a reason. They should be the funniest and the cutest. Yeah.
Good save.
Where can people find out about stuff?
on my website and on Facebook.
Say it just like Borat now. My webs.
On my web. I didn't at all mean that. I just, that's the old jaw problem kicking in, you guys. It was just me trying to not have my jaw dislocated as I'm talking. Lord. Yeah, I'm always like, oh, go on my website. It's orichimoti.com. And they're like, what? So my name.
How I spell.
How I spell.
We'll put a link to
we'll put a link, but it's O-R-I-T is my first name, and S-H-I-M-O-N-I is my last name, and that on Facebook or .com is my website, and it's awesome if you keep in touch and say hello. Yeah.
Where are you going in the next, because this is going to come out pretty quick, so where are you going in the next, like, weeks?
I am on the island next weekend.
And I'm coming for all of you Germans.
And I love the Germans. I hang out with them all the time. That's why I speak like that sometimes. I literally Dankeschön'd John downstairs because I'm still in German mode. Dankeschön. Thank you, well.
Cheese.
Bratwurst. I heard so much. So I turned it up so high.
Oh my god.
Are we still recording?
We're still on Dr. Ho, just in case the listeners are confused about what you turned up high after saying bratwurst.
Oh god.
It's all so confusing. This is a lot like what the inside of my brain looks like anyway.
So you're going on Vancouver Island. Are you playing Victoria, Nanaimo, Duncan?
I am playing Victoria and Parksville.
Nice.
And then I am going through the Nelson route, so Crawford Bay, Nelson, nice. Fernie, Calgary, Saskatoon, and I'll be in I'm with people that have a car and are going to be part of this.
Nice.
So it's I get a ride. I got picked up at the train station. I was like, this is unheard of for me. Like, I didn't have to, like, take the massive suitcase. Chris has seen the massive suitcase.
Yes.
It's not fun. That is why things hurt in my body. So, it was like, knowing that once I arrive in Vancouver, like, the suitcase is either in the car or somewhere, but,
that's
like, there's
so awesome.
Help all the way to Saskatoon is massive.
Nice.
Massively
nice. When
awesome.
Are you in Saskatoon?
That is a good question. The first July... End of July.
I just said that for my in-laws who live out there and are very into music.
Awesome.
So.
I am playing a house concert and they are welcome to
Shelly
attend.
Shelly and Randy, you better go. Yeah. She listens to the podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I should Facebook connect that.
For sure,
Sure. Awesome.
Thank you
so much
thanks
for coming
for,
back.
But of course. Yeah, playing the show and coming early to do a little press first.
Little press.
Real press. We're real
this
journalists.
This is as real as it gets. And to Shauna, who said we need to talk about real stuff more as performers, I just did.
Yay!
Yeah, you did.
All right, we'll see you next week. Bye.